It's really exciting to be here this morning. We have been going through the parables that Jesus has shared. And the parables are where Jesus takes examples from everyday life to speak, to teach spiritual truths to huge groups of people. And today we are specifically looking at the parable of the salt, which personally is a great topic for me because when I think about salt, I think about flavor. And when I think about flavor, I think about seasoning. And as a big foodie, I love food with good flavour, and salt is always key to that. So I've actually been on a bit of a journey to cook a specific dish. Does anyone know what this is? It's jollof rice, or J rice, which is what I call it these days. So if you don't know, it's a common dish in many African countries where you make like this tomato stew, and then you put the rice in, and you cook the rice in the stew. It's so good. Many countries claim it as their invention, but I'm not talking about that this morning. I am just trying to make my own version, and I really want to make it 10 out of 10. Just so you know, my dad is Nigerian, and so I grew up eating his version, which is so, so good. My mom is Jamaican, and so she learned how to cook it from my dad, but she puts her own healthy spin on it, so you won't see it look like this, but it's still good, it's still good. And so Michael's mom is Ghanaian, and her rice is just famous. It's known for how good it is. But mine is about 5 out of 10 at the moment. Like I'm really trying to make it better, but I just don't know why this recipe is defeating me. It's like I can feel the aunties watching me as I cook it, and they're judging me. One time I made it for Michael, and I was like, what do you think? And he's like, it's a bit bland. Oh, I know. Oh, I know. It's savage. So it was really, really lacking salt. And the saltiness in it was just, it needed to be increased. And so the key to this dish is a real careful balance of flavors. And the amount of salt you use is just key to making it better. But that's the same for all foods. Who here cooks with salt? Yeah. I feel like it's probably more people. But of course you do, because salt is good. It literally says so in the Bible. Jesus said so himself, and that is the passage that we're looking at today. In Luke 14, verses 34 to 35, which says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Salt is good. And for all sorts of things. I don't know what else you think of when you personally think of salt. So my first thought was obviously flavor and like the Salt Bae that the guy on Instagram got famous for back in the day. But salt has so many other uses. So it's a de-icer. In winter, when it gets really cold and we start getting snow on the streets, usually someone will go around sprinkling the main roads with grit. And grit is mostly rock salt. And so we use it to stop the ice from forming as quickly, as well as melting the ice that's already there. Salt also has great medicinal qualities. So do you know if you mix a little bit of salt with water, you get saline? And so anyone that wears contact lenses, you probably use saline solution a lot. But people also use saline for cleaning cuts and wounds. And apparently it helps stop bacteria from growing in your cuts. Salt is also known to be a good preservative. So apparently salt pulls water out of food and dehydrates it. So things like bacteria can't grow because there's no water for it to grow in. And so if you've ever had saltfish, which is a common Jamaican ingredient, that's what they do. They take the cod, cut it open, sprinkle loads of salt over it until it dries out, and then that can be sent to other countries and shops, and then eventually to your homes where you have to soak the salt back out so you can eat it again. So salt is so good. But obviously everything in moderation. Like I don't want you to get high blood pressure from too much salt. Let's look at a similar verse in Matthew. If we go to Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So this is a very similar verse, but we're not just talking about the goodness of salt here. Jesus is comparing his followers to salt. He's comparing us to salt. We are the salt of the earth. But if we lose our saltiness, we become useless in God's kingdom, which is harsh, but true. And so I mentioned those uses of salt before, but that's actually just how we use salt today. Salt back in the time of Jesus was used slightly differently. It was really valuable, but for one, it was just not the same as the salt that we can go and buy from Tesco today. It said that the salt at that time is actually quite impure, and it was mixed with a whole bunch of other substances and different types of salts. And it wasn't just the salt as we know it today. So it was mixed together with other salts and sometimes even sand. So as you'd go to the Dead Sea, when you'd scrape up the salt, you can get a combination of different types of substances within the salt. So if you, like I did, wondered how salt could lose its saltiness, well, technically it can't, it's actually impossible. But because of the salt that they used, it was not purely salt. It meant that if they took that mixture and it was exposed to moisture or rain, let's say it was uncovered, the salt as we know it would be washed out, and what would be left would look like salt, but wouldn't actually be salty at all. And when that happens, it's actually not good for anything anymore. And so they didn't use this salt just for things like flavor and preservatives, but this impure salt was commonly used as a fertilizer for the ground to give nutrients to soil and plants and just to improve the quality of crops that are grown. And so when we read that final part of the verse in Luke, this becomes more relevant. Verse 35 says, "It is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile." And that's because the salt that they used could make the ground they poured on it better for growing crops. But if the saltiness had gone from it, if it had been washed out, then it's no longer useful for that purpose. And so they would just throw it out. And it's quite similar for the manure pile. I won't show you a picture of this, but just imagine piles of manure where people at that time would pour salt on top of it for a couple reasons. Again, it stopped the bacteria from growing within it, but also it helped the fertilizing effects. And so if the salt had been washed out of the salt they were trying to use, then it just wouldn't be a very good fertilizer. Instead, it would rot and ferment, which sounds pretty grim. But again, if the saltiness had gone, the purpose of salt would be lost. But as said in Matthew, we are the salt of the earth. And if we think about the fertilizer uses that we've seen in the verses so far, that means we are to be a fertilizer to the earth in a way. We as Christians, we have a different role to play than everybody else. And because we are different, we are set apart. But if the soil and manure represents the state of the world, and us, the salt, then our presence should be encouraging spiritual growth in the world around us because we are salty. Are we salty enough to have that impact in the world right now? Or have we lost our saltiness? Because to be salty is to be strong in our faith. And this verse about salt is in Luke and Matthew and also in Mark. It follows clear messages of the harsh realities of following Jesus. In Matthew specifically, it follows the Beatitudes. So I'll read that now in Matthew 5, verses 1 to 13, which says, "Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Which is quite hard. We are to be insulted and persecuted, amongst other things, just by being a Christian. I also want to read Luke from 14:20-14:25, which says, large crowds were travelling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. In this passage, Jesus talks about the cost of being a disciple, that if they want to follow him, they must be willing to give up everything they hold dear if those things and people do not fit into God's plan. And so Jesus is really giving us a heads up. Don't just follow me because you just want healing and provisions, but also remember you're in for a lifetime of sacrifice, as was pointed out again in the Beatitudes. That said, the verses about salt come almost as a reminder to persevere. Keep living your life with Christ as your priority and stay salty and stay strong in your faith, even when life is difficult. Or maybe even more so when life is comfortable, because it's so easy to drift away from God when you're in the routine of daily life. But Jesus is saying here, if we lose our saltiness, or if we can't stay faithful and sacrificial to him, then we're no longer useful as a disciple. So there are two key things that I want to share: using our saltiness and renewing our saltiness. So for using our saltiness, when you think about salt, the salt you have at home in your cupboard, it's not really doing anything right now. Salt can do a lot, but not when it's just sat in a container on the side. It can do miraculous things, though, when it's scattered across certain environments. So in our Bible verse today, it specifically references the soil and the manure pile. Enough salt in soil helps better crops to grow. And on top of the dirty pile of manure, it stops bacteria from growing and made it a better fertilizer. And that is what is needed from us as Christians, to go out into the world, to live amongst non-Christians and have a great impact on the world because of it. I remember a few years ago, I did a Bible study. It was called Life on the Frontline. And it talked through how everyone has their own front line. And your front line is the place where you spend a lot of your time, where you meet people who don't know who Jesus is, and how that is the place that God has called you to be and where he wants to use you. We need to be salty in those areas that we've already been placed, such as maybe your exercise class, or maybe when you're at work, maybe if you're with your children or just at lunch with friends. If we are salty in those places, the places that we already are, it means we're showing people what it's like to be a follower of Christ. imagine what life would look like with all Christians going out into the world, sharing that saltiness with others. People should be able to see that, and they should be able to see that because of how salty we are, our behaviour is different, and that maybe we don't follow the cultural norms, or we're humble. And looking back at Luke 14, we're willing to lose everything that doesn't fit into God's plan. When we are salty, we influence the environment and those around us that are watching. And they are definitely watching. The same way that people really carefully watched and listened to what Jesus was doing and saying. Imagine how much more love there would be in the world because of the way our saltiness went out and impacted other people. I want to read Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, which says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." So we are called to love God and love others. And as salt of the earth, these are grey areas to focus on. Love God and share his love with the people around you on your own front line. The neighbours maybe that you know and the ones that you don't. And find opportunities to show encouragement and support and love to the people that you come across in life so that they may have the experience of God's love through you. Let's move on to renewing your saltiness. Because it's so very normal in today's world to feel just less salty at times. Maybe if you're feeling discouraged or tired or overwhelmed or unmotivated or just busy with life, that is when we must rely on the Holy Spirit to provide us with the top up of salt that we need. Just an example, I have been preparing for this sermon for a few weeks now, and giving talks is obviously quite daunting, but preaching is just, it's on another level because you're dealing with the precious words of God, and I don't want to mess that up. And so the closer I was getting to this morning, the more stressed I was starting to get because I felt like my thoughts were just not coming together. And it was all becoming almost like a work task that I just wanted to get done and out of the way. And so the pressure was building up. And on top of this, my week at work was quite demanding. It was very jam-packed. I had loads of activities like back-to-back meetings. I had colleagues over from America and someone had set up a whole 3-day plan with zero breaks, but lots of meetings, discussions, socializing, team bonding, brainstorming sessions. And so as an introvert, as much as I enjoyed some of the activities, I would get home late in the evenings and just be too exhausted to do anything, never mind working on the sermon. On top of this, I start a new job in about a week and a half. So I've got a long to-do list of things that I need to finish before I start this new work. And so all of that has been weighing on my mind. Also, I haven't been feeling 100% lately. And then to top it off, everything that was going on in my brain, on Thursday evening at Encounter Night, I was on the rota to do the laptop, so I knew I still wouldn't have that much time to work on the sermon. So I got home on Thursday after work, thinking that as soon as I get back from Encounter, I'm gonna finish it. I've only got 3 days left, but I ended up running a bit late. And then when I got to the center, it was a bit late, but that usually would have been fine. But by the time I'd arrived, I was in a bad mood, which is very off-brand for me, by the way. But I just needed to get it done so I could get back home and get things back together. So I went to turn on the projector in the center, and it just did not want to work. No matter how many times and how many different ways I tried to click it, or 5 different other people tried to turn it on, I just didn't want to turn on. And I think that was my last straw. I was like, you have got to be kidding me right now. Like, I have so much happening in my head, and this was not in the plan. And according to my husband, apparently I was striding around the center with a mop in my hand, trying to turn on the projector, because that's how you do it, in just a big ball of anger and frustration, which I don't know if it's an exaggeration or actually true, but maybe if you saw me, you can tell me if that's what I looked like. But since there was no projector, it meant there was no job for me to do. And so I just sat down and I joined in with the worship without the distraction of the laptop. And I thought maybe this was supposed to happen. And then 5 seconds later, Becca came over and shared exactly that. that maybe God just wanted me to worship him in that moment. And you prayed that I'd really hear what Jesus was trying to say to me. And so I think I spent the next half hour crying my eyes out and praying for the Holy Spirit to come on me in that moment and then crying a little bit more, which was actually a good release. And I felt so much peace after that, just by spending a little bit of time in God's presence. And it was really the top-up of saltiness that I needed. I think sometimes Jesus just wants our time and attention and our reliance on him in our lives, and I had forgotten that in that moment. And so there's no better way to renew your saltiness than spending time in the presence of God. I just want to share a video that I came across while scrolling through social media.
He'll be here soon, and we can have some coffee.
Jesus.
He'll be here soon, and we can have some coffee.
Jesus, you're early. Ready to order yet?
No, afraid not. I'm waiting for a friend.
Uh-huh, okay.
He's at work now. Maybe he'll come for lunch. He'll for sure come after work. Here you are. I've been waiting all day for you. I've missed...
Jesus. Hey, yeah. Work's super stressful. Speaking of, can you, you know, help with this project at work? I'm still stuck between buying a house or staying in the apartment. So if you can help with that decision, it will mean a lot to me. Oh, and by the way, the girl at church? Yeah, you know. I really like her. So if it's your will and everything, make things go smoothly.
And heal the poor, help the sick and stuff. Okay, gotta get up early for work.
It was good talking to you. See you tomorrow. Our Father art in heaven, I'll be the name of the king. Amen. Same time tomorrow?
Yep.
But sometimes it's pretty good to get videos like this pop up in between all the other random videos that I see on social media. But it was a pretty deep reminder again that just God wants to spend time with us, and we don't always make the time to spend time in his presence. And we need to spend time with him to remain salty and to get through the challenging times of life as a Christian. So let this be your reminder to spend time developing your relationship with him and through his word and through prayer, and he will replace your salt so that we can be the salt of the earth. So as I come to an end, maybe the band can come back at this point. I want to remind you that we are called to be the salt of the earth, and how we live our lives should be a positive impact to those around us. So check in on your neighbours, pray for your colleagues, and whenever things start to feel too much, remember the relationship that you have with Jesus. And spend time reconnecting with him so he can give you all the salt that you need. I'm just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that as we think about our level of saltiness, Lord, that you just help us to increase that level, Lord. I pray that you use us as a living fertilizer to help improve the life around us, Lord Jesus, that you have sent us into this world to have a great impact, Lord. I pray that if we are feeling under stress or levels of unmotivation and things are just feeling on top of us, Lord, that you help us restore our relationship with you, Lord, and that you will increase our saltiness, Lord. I just pray this in your holy name. Amen.